This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we will be featuring another interesting Reflections of Hope episode, and Faith for Today will join us to share a devotional thought.
Plus, we're going to have music from Matt and Josie Minicus. Don't miss it. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. Thank you for waking up with us today. You know, we're so glad you have chosen to join us.
We are, friends. We wish you a wonderful day as we start out today together. We're so happy to be starting today with you. Where are you waking up with us from this morning? Send us a message on our official Hope Channel Facebook page and let us know. We would love to hear from you.
Did you know that today is National Stay Home Because You're Well Day?
That is interesting.
Oh, it is. That's quite different, isn't it? It's really a day to encourage us to slow down and to enjoy life. You know, life can get so hectic, and sometimes it's not a bad idea to take a day off to recoup and refresh.
That's right. And of course, it may not be realistic to call in well to work. However, God has set aside a special time each week for us to refresh, slow down, and revive our relationship with Him. It's called the Sabbath, and it happens every Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. It's a special 24-hour period God has set aside for us to spend with Him and with our loved ones.
What a study. You want to know more? Well, check out hope.study and look at the study called A Gift from Eden to find out how you can enjoy this gift of rest from God. Now it's time to take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On November 30, 1609, Galileo Galilei, an Italian astronomer and physicist, began observing the moon through his improved telescope. His groundbreaking observations revealed that the moon's surface was not smooth, as previously believed, but rather it was marked by mountains, valleys, and plains similar to Earth's. Galileo's meticulous findings, published in 1610 in Sidereus Nuncius, or Starry Messenger, significantly advanced our understanding of celestial bodies and revolutionized the study of astronomy in Europe.
You know, celestial bodies and astronomy have been fascinating to humanity from the beginning of time. To know there's a whole world out there is great, and it's beyond what we could ever imagine. You know, God created it all, friends. He made the moon, the stars, the sun, the planets, and everything in the grand sky that we don't even know exist. And as you look out into the starry sky or the great blue sky during the day, remember that the same God who made the vast universe is the same God who made you. And He longs to have a personal, intimate relationship with you. He cares for you even down to the littlest detail of your life. You know, it's a beautiful truth, and we can embrace it today.
Amen. I agree. Well, this morning we're taking a trip to the ancient Phoenician city of Tyre, one of the epicenters of commerce and commercialism in the ancient world, as we are reminded of some powerful principles so relevant to the world we live in today.
Travels have brought us here to the beautiful country of Lebanon. And here in South Lebanon, just north of the Israeli-Lebanese border, we find a coastal town that takes us back into time. It is here that we walk upon the ruins of an ancient economic superpower that once overlooked the majestic Mediterranean Sea, a major Phoenician seaport that goes back to before 2000 BC. The Phoenician city of Tyre was once one of the major crossroads of commerce and commercialism in the ancient world. From this harbor, the Tyrians would send out their merchant ships across the entire then known world, as far as Western Africa, even up to Northern Europe. This famous city was known for their expert craftsmanship of glassware, pottery, textiles, tapestry, and jewelry. They were also known for harvesting the seashells, from which they would extract and manufacture the extremely rare and expensive purple dye, the coveted color of the kings, who paid an expensive price to immerse their royal robes. Tyre was once an ally with Israel during the days of King Solomon, providing much of the materials for the glorious sanctuary in Jerusalem, a real blessing to the people of God. But this city became so rich and wealthy that they soon became consumed with pride and arrogance and the love of ease. They began to waste their riches on selfish ambition and sinful indulgence. This kingdom, who once contributed to the beauty of the temple and the glory of God, now began to use their power and their wisdom and their riches to exalt themselves. They became an icon of pride and arrogance, and their spiritual fall was used as an example of the fall of even Satan himself. Using the king of Tyre as a symbol of Satan, the prophet Ezekiel writes, "By your great wisdom and trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created, till iniquity was found in you. Therefore I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones." Because of his pride and arrogance, Lucifer, that glorious angel, turned himself into the devil and thus fell from heaven. And his story is the chief example of how pride goes before a fall. And that which happened to him also happened to this Phoenician kingdom that followed his example. At the height of her pride and power, the Bible says concerning Tyre, "And they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. They will lay your stones, your timber, your soil in the midst of the water. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken, says the Lord God." And just as the Lord predicted, the prophecy came true. This ancient economic epicenter was scraped to the ground by mighty Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and its rocky ruins were then thrown into the sea by Alexander the Great of Greece, creating a causeway from the mainland to the island city. And over the centuries, the causeway have formed into a landmass that has changed the geography of Tyre from an island to a peninsula. And to this day, it is used by modern fishermen for the spreading of nets, just as the Bible predicted thousands of years ago. These ancient ruins of Tyre remain here as a perpetual lesson to us that indeed pride goes before a fall, and that the glory of the world is like the dust of the wind, here today, but then blown into obscurity tomorrow. Make no mistake about it, friends. Power, wisdom, riches, and beauty are all a gift from God. These characteristics are to be used for the glory of God and the blessing of others. But once these things are used for selfish exaltation and selfish gain, that which was meant to be a blessing quickly becomes a curse. And that which was meant to be light quickly becomes darkness. My friend, each and every one of us has been blessed with the same opportunity that was given to ancient Tyre. An opportunity to use our time, our talents, our resources to build up God's kingdom, to make an investment that brings eternal returns, to use our time to impact all of eternity, to use our gain to glorify God. But the enemy of our souls is constantly enticing us to follow his example of selfishness and sin. He wants us to waste our substance on earthly glory instead of spiritual graces. He would cause us to believe that pride is power and that meekness is weakness. But the ruins of Tyre testify to the falsity of his lies. But God promises that the humble in spirit will retain honor. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You see, the nature of the kingdom of God is very different from the earthly kingdom of Tyre. For in God's kingdom, there's honor and humility, beauty and simplicity, and power and charity. And only as we come down from our pedestal of pride and self-sufficiency will we then be exalted in godly glory. For God said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." Therefore, I appeal to you today to never forget the lessons that are learned from the mistakes of this ancient city. Never forget who is the true source of riches and wisdom and beauty and power. Therefore, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up.
Matt and Josie Minicus joins us now to bless us in song and remind us to rest in Jesus as they sing Rest a While. Friends, we are delighted to spend time with you this morning. Coming up next, we have an inspiring devotional from Faith for Today. And don't forget to search for us on YouTube to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us. Friends, we'll be right back. But first, we have doctor's orders coming up next.
I'm going out to mow the lawn now. I'll be back in a couple hours.
Not like that, you're not.
Why? Is it too cold? Do I need a jacket?
No, that's not the problem.
Is it raining? Really? These weathermen just seem to be throwing darts to make their forecast. What are we even paying them for?
We're not paying them.
Well, that's the problem. You get what you pay for.
Well, we can't blame the weatherman for this problem. It's not raining.
Well, what could possibly be the problem then?
You have forgotten your ear protection again.
Oh, Narada, you worry about too much. This is a lawnmower, not a jet engine. I'll only be out there for a couple of hours. Now, what is 2 hours compared to my healthy lifestyle?
Healthy lifestyle? That's not what I'd call it. But anyway, that's a topic for another day. For now, you just need to put these on and protect your ears.
What did you say?
I said you need to protect your ears.
Gotcha.
Oh, now, did you know 20% of the world's population reports hearing loss? That's twice as many as diabetes and cancer.
Hang on, you can't just throw around diabetes and cancer like they're a baseball. They're not even in the same ballpark.
Okay, they're different, but hearing is really important. You know, 2 hours of yard work with a loud machine like this can cause irreversible damage to your hearing.
Why do you always have to be doom and gloom?
Doom and gloom, it's a simple solution. You just need to wear ear protection.
Oh, so like my headphones, I can listen to my rock and roll and rock while I'm out mowing?
No, that would be even worse, listening to music over a loud machine. Be sure to protect your hearing from loud noise and loud music. Doctor's orders.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for staying with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today.
There's a story about a city dweller who was visiting relatives on a farm, and the farmer gave a whistle, and his dog herded the cattle into the corral. Then the dog latched the gate with her paw. Wow, that's some dog. What's her name? The city dweller asked. The forgetful farmer thought a minute and then asked, "What do you call that red flower that smells good and has thorns on the stem?" "A rose?" "That's it." The farmer turned to his wife. "Hey, Rose, what do we call this dog?" If a person is forgetful, it's not often equated with them possessing wisdom, is it? Wisdom is typically thought of the main ingredient to creating a life of legacy. But today we're going to see that wisdom is not about where you're going or even where you want to go. It's about what you are willing to forget and leave behind. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8 tells us where to look for solutions here. And it says, "Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter." The Bible says that there are some little creatures that we can learn from, and though they are very little, they are very wise. Now, when a fool calls someone wise, we're not moved, because when a fool calls someone wise, well, a fool is easily impressed. I've heard a lot of people call other people smart that I didn't think were smart. But when God says you're wise, can you imagine all the sages and wise men and scholars and theologians waiting around when God opens his mouth and says, "I'm going to show you what is really wise." And he walks past each and every one of them and says, "I want you to learn your wisdom from some very little things. Things that are seen as an annoyance, little insects that ruin your picnics. If you want to be wise," God says, "I'm going to give you a message through these little things. Don't underestimate them because they are little. Because great things come in small packages. And if you can harness the wisdom of these small creatures, it will launch the rest of your life." He walked past the elephants and the giraffes, overlooked the rhino and hippopotamus, moved past the horse and the deer, stepped over the dogs and cats, and ducked beneath the flying eagles and pelicans until he focused his vision on the ground. It came all the way down to a sandy hill with a little hole in the top. And there he pointed at an ant. And he said, if you can garner the wisdom of this ant, watch the ant. And he points at the ant who is preparing food for the winter. And he's doing it during the summer. It is in the summer when the grass is green and the harvest is plentiful and everything is blooming and there is a wide selection of fruit to be had. It is during that season that the ant ignores where he is because he is filled with a mindset for where he is going. And so he does something that seems foolish at the time that he's doing it. But he does it because he has in his mind a place that he's going. And this ant, if he were here to speak to you today, his message would be, point number one, prepare yourself. I'm confident that there's somebody watching today who needs to increase in wisdom right now by preparing yourself. God said, listen to the wisdom of the ant. Prepare yourself. It was summer, but the ant was preparing for winter. Well, let's take this action apart. The Bible not only tells us what he does, but when he does it. The ant totally disregards what has happened in his past. He's not dealing with the issues of his past. He's come to a point of closure about yesterday. He's not rehearsing the same troubles of his past, repeating the same mistakes over and over again. He has closed that chapter in his life. It is a blessing in your life when you can dismiss the past and say, that is over. Many of us are foolish because we're 30 years old, still crying about something that happened when we were 13. We're 40 and still worried about the person who left us at 30. We're 50 years old and we're still whining about mistakes that we made when we were 20. But we'll never be wise when we're working backwards. Watch that ant. He's not working backwards. The other thing that is amazing about him, not only does he disregard his past, he ignores his present. You don't see the ant try to glutton up all the food that he can while he can and fatten himself up as if there's no tomorrow. The ant has the ability to have delayed gratification. He's willing to wait. You cannot prepare yourself if you do not have the patience to wait. If you can't wait, you're going to mess yourself up from what God has for you. The ant has a strategy. His whole philosophy is to get ready for what is about to happen in his life. Look at the ant. The ant ignores the summer and he prepares for the winter. He's taking the food of his summer and moving it toward his winter. He has enough faith to believe that he will be there in the winter. He's not intimidated by any of his enemies in the summer. He has adversities, but he does not believe that any of his natural predators will be able to stop him from getting to the next level. He so disregards his enemies and is busy working on where he's going that he doesn't have time to worry about where he is. Now, I hope you understand the deeper application of what I'm trying to say to you today. The word prepare has a prefix. Pre, which means to do something ahead of time. The word pair is like the paring knife that mom used to peel and cut the fruit to make it ready for its intended purpose. To prepare means to get it ready in advance. I want to talk to somebody today because if you're going to obey the wisdom of the ant, you got to be willing to look like a fool. You've got to be busy getting ready for something that you don't need right now. You've got to be out of step with your situation right now, but in step with your destiny so that you are reacting to something that hasn't happened yet rather than responding to something that's going on right now. Godly people do not react. To allow the enemy to make the first move means that he's in charge. The enemy has never made a move that God reacted to. God acts. It is the enemy who's trying to catch up to what he's doing. The ant doesn't go out and grab a crumb that he can't handle. The ant will get a piece of bread that's three times bigger than he is. It'll be so big that he's got to drag it in to get it where he's trying to go. Anyone else would have let it go, but he says, I just can't let it go. Some of you are like the ant. You've got a hold of something and you can hardly carry it. But your vision is bigger than you are. You don't have enough resources. You don't have enough help. You don't have enough time. You don't have enough experience, but you're going to drag it in. It is to you that I say today, don't give up or give in. God has implanted great wisdom in you. Take a lesson from the ants, learn from their ways, and be wise.
Thank you so much, Pastor Roy, for those encouraging words.
And thank you for watching Wake Up With Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow. We'll be featuring another Reflections of Hope episode and The Incredible Journey returns. Plus, we will have a devotional thought from Pastor Mark Finley and so much more.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about the scriptures, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Again, that's hope.study. Now, of course, we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise. And today's promise comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 7.
It says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy."
You know, friend, are you looking for mercy and grace? God will surely give it to you as we follow this formula straight from His Word. Show mercy to others, and He will show mercy to us. You know, it's a beautiful promise, and it's simple, and one that we can cling to.
Amen. That is so true. Friends, we pray that you enjoyed spending time with us this morning, because we sure enjoyed being here with you.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your mercy. All of us here today, we have at times, we have turned away from you. We're all guilty. But Lord, you are a God who's full of mercy. And so today, Lord, we receive all that you have for us. Thank you for overwhelming us with your love. And today, Lord, we pray that as we go about our day, that you would give us opportunities to show kindness and mercy towards others, because you've been so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.